Testing, testing. This is old man Giles. Died of a toothache and the piles. Good morning, sunshine. Happy birthday. Are you surprised to hear my voice? We love you truly, truly we do. Wish you were nearer, our love to renew. Your family has asked, when I was young, what was the first present that I remember receiving? I can't pick out any specific one right at the moment, but I remember Christmas time we would always get warm clothes, shoes, mittens to keep us warm during the winter months. And all through the year, I would receive presents that I enjoyed very much. But in thinking about it, I guess the presents that I received that I enjoyed most throughout my life was a pony given to me by a rancher, Mr. Taylor, who lived up in Wallsburg. My dad did a lot of business with him, and he kind of liked me, and he gave me this pony. He was a lovely pony. I enjoyed him all through the years. I guess I must have been about 8 years old when I received this pony, and I kept him through the years. Enjoyed riding him on trips with my dad, driving cattle. And I kept that pony clear up until your brother, DeLoss, rode him. I have a picture of him just sitting on him. He was just a little tyke. So that was a very lasting and enduring present that I received and enjoyed very much. And they also asked, did I have favorite stories? You bet I did. Black Beauty, and Huckleberry Finn, and David and Goliath. When I was very young, they asked, who was my favorite relative? Well, besides my mother and dad, I loved my grandmother. There's a song that says, a boy's best friend is his grandmother. And I think that that is very true in the majority of cases. My grandmother liked me. Whenever I would go to her place, she would always give me goodies. And if I were sick, well, she would always come up and see me and bring me good things to eat. And I loved her. I think she must have been my favorite relative. We all enjoy having a fuss made over us. My grandmother Giles always made a big fuss over her grandson Charlie. And as to the homes that I grew up in, I always loved our red brick home that my dad had built so that he could take his bride to her new home. It was on the same block as the Major School, where all of us kids went to school. We were all born here in this home. We had a big barn that joined the Major School building. I was a little shy when I was a youngster, and I would stand out in the schoolyard at recess with my arm around a tree for company, and I would look over at our barn and how I would wish I was just across the fence over in that big barn having fun. This red brick home was a lovely home for those days. It had two bedrooms, a big spacious living room, and a big spacious parlor, and a pantry where us kids would go in and get goodies from the pantry. I remember we used to skim the cream off of the milk that was in pans that had risen. We would skim this cream off and spread it on slices of bread and put a sprinkle of sugar. Boy, that was a delicacy. Now, all of us kids were raised in this home, and we loved it very much. And of course, later we moved to Idaho, And I shall always remember the old brick, or the old log cabin that was on the ranch there. It wasn't such a big house. I don't know how we all got in it at times, but we had so many enjoyable and fun times in the old ranch home that used to sit just above Hooper Spring. And of course, both of these homes were equipped for those modern days with the outhouse and a well or a hydrant out in the back where we could get the water and carry into the house. In our house in Provo, I remember the old shanty, they used to call it in those days. I suppose nowadays it would be called a utility room. There was a big black range there where Mother would heat the water for washing, and it was a spacious big shanty, we called it. We had lots of fun out there. That was us kids' playroom in the wintertime. And then, of course, in the early 20s, when we moved to Conda, our first home was a tent house, a double-room tent house. It was called Shanty Row in the early beginning of the Anaconda operations there at Conda. And then later, the company built lovely new modern homes, indoor plumbing and everything. Oh boy, that was wonderful. We were right up in society when we moved into our new home there. And many enjoyable and memorable things have taken place in our home in Conda. And of course, later, when I was married, Golda and I also lived in one of these nice modern homes in Conda. And that's where our three children were born, Delos, Marilyn, and Jerry. You kids, I'm sure, can recall many a wonderful time in our home at Conda. Conda was a lovely place, and we all enjoyed it very much. But then there came a time in 1950, Golda and I purchased a home and some acreage here in Soda Springs. So we moved into our home here. And after a few years, we completely remodeled it and made a lovely home of it. Our children have grown up here and gone to school, had lots of friends, lots of fun. Delos was the cattleman of the family. He had a few cows around, and we had horses, of course, to ride, old Topsy and Ginger. We all remember them well. Jerry was the sheep man. He started out as a chicken man, but he was afraid of the rooster. He wouldn't dare go in the chicken coop and gather the eggs. So Marilyn had to take over the chickens. So we had quite a farm here, old McDonald's farm. We had a little bit of everything, and we sure enjoyed our home life here in Soda with this acreage that we had and the animals that we could have around, and made lots of wonderful friends. The kids completed their schooling here, their high school, and it's been a very enjoyable home for all of us, and we still enjoy it. And Hal Gold and I enjoy having our kids come home and for visits and bringing their kids. We kind of like our grandkids too. They're a pretty good bunch. Sometimes Grandpa has to get after them with a whip, but he isn't too harsh. He kind of holds back a little bit on that lash. But we love all of our family. They're certainly a great bunch. And on this day, Jerry, we wish you such a very happy birthday. And we hope that it won't be too long until our trails can cross again and we can pick up the old fishing pole and we'll do a little fishing, maybe explore the Soda Water Springs again and have a lot of fun together. And Judy, you say that I'm to take up one side of this tape, which would be 45 minutes. Do you realize that everything I know, I can tell you in about 15 minutes? That's quite a burden on an old man. I might have to sing you some songs or quote a little poetry or tell a few lies in order to take up 45 minutes. We'll see what we can do. In thinking back my favorite stories, I always remember how us kids would look forward to the Sunday paper coming, which had all of the comics in it. Funny paper, we called it. My dad was always real good to us to get the funny paper out, and he'd get us all around him, and he would read us the funny paper, and he would act out parts of it and make it more interesting to us. And we always really enjoyed the funny papers with my dad. In later years, I suppose acquired some of my dad's good features, and I remember I would always take our kids to bed and read them stories. A lot of stories familiar to us in that day and age, and that those kids had those stories all memorized. Sometimes I would read a line wrong purposely, and they would pick me right up and tell me the exact words that should go in there. I've had lots of fun with our children, telling them bedtime stories. It's a great life. I love all of you. You know, this is a great life when you get thinking about it. All the fun times you've had with your families and brothers and sisters and your moms and your dads and your kids. When your kids are young, you tell them stories. And then as they get a little older, they start telling you stories. Of course, none of our kids were very bad, and they didn't have too many stories to tell. And I always believed that they were on the up and up and truthful, but even to this day, once in a while, something will crop up. I will meet a friend or an old neighbor or something, and they'll say, "Whatever become of that old black Ford you used to have, Mr. Giles? Boy, many a wild ride we've had in that." I don't know. I think DeLoss, Marilyn, and Jerry, all of you experienced good times in that old black Ford. I don't always know what you did, but I still believe that you were good kids. Mom and I are so grateful for all of you. Now in my old age, as I get blind and can't hear very well, decrepit, I'm sure glad to have you around to tell me stories. I love to hear them from you. In thinking back to Jerry's youth, I think of him, other kids, myself, and people. We can develop good traits or bad traits. As a whole, Jerry possessed good traits. And they developed into good characteristics, which he exhibits to this day. I recall when I was bishop. Bishops didn't have offices at the church in those days, nor did they have financial secretaries. They did all of their own work, usually did it at home on an afternoon after sacrament meeting. I recall as I used to be making out receipts for people who had paid tithes and offerings, our children were fascinated by those receipts, and they would pay their tithing, and they were quite proud to get a receipt for it. Jerry used to scrounge around among his possessions and come up with a few extra pennies and pay them as tithing just so he could get another receipt. That was a good trait, and it developed him into a good habit of paying his tithing. I don't think he has ever missed paying his tithing. Another incident I recall, in our neighborhood there was a boy who was a little slow of speech and a little retarded. He was generally shunned by friends and people. people of the community, but not Jerry. Jerry befriended that boy, and he would go over to his house and play, and he would have him come over to our house and play. They would play in the barnyard and around the yard. He would even invite him to dinner. And to this day, every time I see that young man, still retarded, yet he always asks me about Jerry, how he is, where he is, and speaks of him as a true, loyal friend. Good for you, son. We're proud of you. Another time in Jerry's young life, a boy's fancies, he would look at the ads of strong men in magazines, and he wanted to become a big muscular man. And he would oftentimes bet me that in such and such a time, he could gain so many pounds. Well, Jerry never did become very muscular, nor a great big man, but he grew big enough. And he especially developed a big heart. He has a heart for everyone. Good, kind, generous. Never degrades anyone. Although he is a good mimicker, and he can mimic people, he does it just in fun. But never does Jerry downgrade anyone. Remember, Jerry, when Mr. Mossman stayed with us? You two used to play and have a lot of fun together, and he fixed you a steering wheel on your wagon and put a seat in it, and boy, you would really romp around the barnyard there and make lots of imaginary trips to the auction or to the slaughterhouse with pigs and cattle. Boy, those were the good old days, weren't they? We've had lots of fun times together. Remember over in Afton, when you had that range riding job and you had that one horse that was hard to catch? He'd come up for his oats, reach in the bucket for the oats, but when you'd go to put your arm around his neck to catch him, why, he'd whirl and away he'd go. Remember how we devised a plan one day to catch him? We made a loop with the lariat around the back end of the pickup, then poured grain in the back of the pickup. When the old horse came in to eat the grain out of the back of the pickup, we took hold of the end of the rope and jerked it and come down over his neck, and there we had him. He was sure a surprised old hoss, almost as surprised as we were. Well, Jerry, again we want to say, the Lord bless you and have a good day. As Bishop Balls would say, it's quite a thing to be a bishop, and your duties to fulfill. Then you go fishing and wish that time would just stand still. You do all these things with much devotion, and on the side, you direct church education. You are a good boy, son, and for you we have much affection, also for Judy, who helps you in your direction in leading your lovely children and members of your ward. Well done, my good and faithful servant, will be your greeting from the Lord. Well, Jerry, it has been a pleasure to watch you thus far in your life. It was my privilege to see you born and to see you grow up under the tender care of a good, kind mother, and then a sweet wife. You are gifted and have accomplished many arts. I always enjoyed working with you here on our little farm and other things of sorts. You finished school and went on a mission. To hear you play and sing and to be recipients of your love and care has been our pleasure and sweet commission. Where the L is the end of this tape, the bottom of the barrel I'm beginning to scrape. Happy birthday to you, all of you, we do like. Good night to all in the world that I love and like. Here, son, you take the mic. Love, Dad. P.S. In cleaning out my drawers, I ran across this questionnaire that was given to Grandma and Grandpa with questions on it for us to answer. I don't recall ever answering these questions. I don't even know for sure that it came from you or from one of our other families. But here are some questions that I would like to answer as they were asked on this paper. But in passing, I just want to mention at this time, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the last day of January, 1985, and it is now just exactly zero. Last night, it was 26 below zero, so my voice is nice and crisp to speak to you at this time. Question number one, what were your favorite games and toys? Well, my favorite games when I was a youngster was kick the can on stilts. And another one that we used to like to play was Run Sheep Run. And my favorite toys, I used to gather up the plums as they would fall off of our tree, and I would call them animals, and I would make little corrals and barns, and I would round these cattle up and put them in my corral, and I just occupy a lot of time playing with myself and these homemade things that were available at that time. Another game we used to play when we were kids was Duck on the Rock. That was quite a lot of fun to play. And of course our toys, mainly in the summertime, were stick horses. We were always riding horses, having a lot of fun together. Question number two, did you ever get into trouble with your friends? Not very often. I always got along real well with my friends. I remember one time we got in a squabble over a marble game, me and a couple of friends. I don't just recall who was at fault, but anyway, my friends went home, and I went over on the lawn and sat in the shade of a tree and sort of sulked for a while. And within an hour, my two friends were back and we were playing marbles again. Question number three. What chores did you have to do? Well, I had lots of chores when I was a boy. I had to milk a cow, sometimes two or three. We had horses and to feed and take care of, barns to clean out. We had chickens, chicken coop to clean out, take care of. We had pigs to feed. I was kept real busy. And of course, in the summertime, we had a big garden, and there was lots of weeding out in that garden. Next question. How old were you when you learned to drive? Did you have your own car? I learned to drive other people's cars before I had my own car. But when I was about 20 years of age, I had had a job for about a couple of years, and I'd saved enough money to buy me a car. A star car. I forget now just what I paid for that car, but something right around $1,500. But I bought that car, and it was the first car we had in the family, so of course it got a lot of use. I used to take my parents and my sisters places in my new star car. We even went up to Yellowstone Park in it with Mother and Dad, and I had the car and they had the money, so we'd go places and have fun together as a family. What sports did you participate in or watch? Well, baseball was always my main sport. I never was a very good baseball player, but I used to play quite a lot in the neighborhood, out on vacant lots. The girls and boys both played together. But I used to have fun playing baseball, and I've always, from that time on, I've always loved to watch a good baseball game. Of course, now in this day and age, the teams are more developed, more professional than they used to be, I suppose. Anyway, the most developed and the most professional baseball team, of course, is the Dodgers. This year, we've got together with the Dodgers, and our plans are to go through the season without a loss. I think we can do it, too. Don't you? How old were you when you got an allowance? And how much was it? Well, when I was a kid growing up, we never heard of the word allowance. Our allowance, I suppose, was our food and our clothes. Of course, a circus would come to town, and Dad and Mother would always see that we got to the circus. Once in a while, we'd be given a dime to go to a show. And every once in a while, if we were good boys and girls, we would get a nickel to go out and meet the ice cream man as he came down the street every evening with his horse and buggy and jingling a little bell. And we'd go out to meet the ice cream man and buy us an ice cream cone. On the 4th of July, I remember I would get a nickel for every row of garden that I would hoe the week before the 4th of July. And I would get out and hoe industriously and earn as many nickels as I could for the 4th of July. And I don't know. I see here where you ask Grandma a question. It says, what was the meanest thing that you ever did, the naughtiest thing you ever did? I recall a naughty thing I'd done one time. My dad gave me a dollar. There was a carnival in town, and he wanted me to take my sisters and go to this carnival and give each one of them a ride. Well, we got to the carnival, and I lost them somewhere in the crowd. And I don't know how hard I looked for them, but I couldn't find them. So I rode out that whole dollar in rides. I suppose there were 5 or maybe 10 cents a ride. But anyway, I rode out that whole dollar before I ever found them. Well, they forgave me for this, and they were glad that I had a lot of fun anyway. I had good sisters and good parents, and they were loving and they were forgiving. But it was really kind of naughty, wasn't it? Don't you think it was? Well, I'm at the end of these questions, but not at the end of the tape. Maybe some of you will have to finish off this tape and tell me what you think about it. Bye-bye, signing off, Charlie. Mary had a little lamb that froze to death on February 1st. The icicle in its intestines couldn't make the bend, so his poor little belly burst. So if you never receive this tape, you will know that I succumbed to the Arctic air, 38 degrees below. Boy, that's cold. Well, I love y'all. I'm signing off now. I'm going to go to bed and stay in bed till spring. Maybe Mother will tell you more about it on the other side of this tape. Bye-bye. My recent primary experience has taught me that building boys is better than mending men. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop. At late our early hour, now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, as the clock may then be still. It's a little warmer today. Temperature got up to 18 above zero on February 2nd. But darn it, the groundhog saw his shadow. So now we'll have 6 more weeks of winter. Well, Jerry, again I say happy birthday to you. You're a good man. Much is said about us men, and we are good. That's well understood. But in reading through my scrapbook, I came across a poem that I want to dedicate to all mothers. It bespeaks the very nature of a mother. A perfect day. Grandmother, on a winter's day, milked the cows and fed them hay, slopped the hogs, saddled the mule, and got the children off to school. Did the washing, mopped the floor, washed the windows, and did some chores. Cooked a dish of home-dried food, pressed her husband's Sunday suit, swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread, split some wood and lugged it in, enough to fill the kitchen bin, cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples she thought would spoil, churned the butter, baked a cake, then exclaimed, "For heaven's sake, the calves have got out of the pen," went out and chased them in again, gathered the eggs and locked the stable, back to the house and set the table, cooked the supper that was delicious, and afterwards washed up all the dishes, fed the cat and sprinkled the clothes, mended a basket full of hose, then opened the organ and began to play, "When you come to the end of a perfect day." Bye-bye. Good luck. God bless you. Chuck. Well, Judy, I believe I still have room on this tape for your February questions. I don't know when we'll ever get Mom to do her side. She's scared to death of this, talking into something where she can't see anybody. But here's an answer to your February questions. Radio programs. Back in the days when we just had radio, we didn't know anything about TV. But there was an Amos and Andy program that I always watched. And of course, listened to. And of course, we always listened to the conference. And then baseball was one of my favorites to listen to. That was back in the days when the Yanks always won the World Series. That is until the Dodgers got real serious about ball. And then that changed the picture. My favorite comedians back in those days was Charlie Chaplin, Fatty Arbuckle, Jack Benny in Rochester, Bob Hope, and Bing Crosby. My favorite comic strips were the Cats and Jammer Kids, Little Arf and Annie, and Dagwood and Blondie. Painters, illustrators. I never was much of an artist and didn't appreciate good art very much. But all I could ever draw was flies. But one of my favorite painter illustrators was Charlie Russell. Of course, they were all Western painters. I enjoyed his work. Well, I'm still not at the end of this tape. Maybe I'm going to have to do the other one too, the other side. But we'll see what we can do. Bye-bye. Jerry, are you listening? It seems that all this is for you. But I'm kind of tongue-tied. I'm kind of like Mom. It seems funny to be talking to somebody that you can't see. Here's your March list, Judy. What was your first full-time job? Well, my first full-time job was on the ranch with my dad. He was a pretty good boss. And then you want to say, how much did you earn? Well, I probably got more than I earned. But my salary was my board and my room and a little spending money. I had fun in doing that. And what were the responsibilities of that job? Well, they were milking cows, feeding the horses, and taking care of the pigs, and cutting hay and putting up hay and planting grain and cutting grain and all that stuff that goes along with farm work. But I really enjoyed it. It was lots of fun. While I was still on the farm, there was a contractor by the name of Slick. He came to Soda Springs and he put in the a spur of the railroad over by the stockyards. Soda Springs at one time was a big shipping center for livestock. So I took four of my dad's horses and went to work for Mr. Slick, running a Fresno scraper. And I was just a kid, but Mr. Slick took a liking to me, and he said that I was the only guy that could put a load of dirt where he wanted it. And when he finished that job, he wanted me to go on with him and stay with him, not hire my horses, but I could drive some of his mules. But I, being a sort of a homeboy and loved my life on the ranch, I didn't go with Mr. Slick. He was quite disappointed because he took quite a liking to me. I guess my first full-time job away from home was when I went to Conda in 1923. And I started out there in the kitchen. They were feeding about 100 men. My job was washing dishes and peeling the vegetables. I got $60 a month in my board out of that. And that was a pretty good job in those days for just a punk kid like me. Mr. Joseph was the head cook. He was Italian, I believe, was his nationality. But he had a beard. He was a funny little guy, good-hearted. But he had lots of ways, lots of shortcuts. When he'd be making lemon pie, he'd be stirring in the ingredients, and he'd cut a lemon in half, put it in his mouth, and squeeze the juice out with his teeth while he was stirring and mixing in other ingredients. He was a good old guy. We had lots of fun together. We used to tease him. He had a rupture, and he'd always say, "Charlie, come lift this pot for me. It's too heavy. My rupture. Oh, it's coming down." So I'd go to his rescue and lift all of his pots and do his heavy work for him. Then, of course, I went from the kitchen to the mill. I worked at the mill, I guess, about the rest of my life. A few years right after we were married, I worked in the mine tramming. But the mill was my main hope. I had some good bosses there. Smith Skinner was my first boss at the mill. He was a good guy, and we had lots of fun together. And there were several of us young fellows working there in the mill, and we'd have a lot of fun together. And you asked, why did I choose this job? Well, I chose it because there was some money to be made. And like all young people, I was striving to make a million, and so that was my first experience of a real job, was at the mill. And of course I went on stay at the mill. One year when the mine was shut down, they laid all the single fellows off, as there was a cut in the work, and they laid all of us single fellows off and kept the married ones on because they had wives and families to provide for. So then I transferred to Anaconda. I worked up at Anaconda for about a year. And then when I come back home for Christmas, there was talk of Conda opening up again, and they was going to put us young fellows back on. So I didn't go back to Anaconda after Christmas. I stayed at Conda with the folks, and I went back to work in the mill. And I stayed with that mill job, well, I guess the rest of my life. I finally got to be mill foreman. Boy, I was a big shot then. You ask, for whom have I worked? Well, of course, like I said, I started out with my dad, and I worked for Mr. Slick. And I used to work on quite a lot of the ranches around, mainly for Chris Fanning, my brother-in-law. We always got along real well, and Grace was the right good cook.